Well, usually, this has been kind of the premise that we've been working with for the last couple of weeks. We don't like when things are empty. We don't like our empty gas tank. We don't like empty bank accounts. I particularly don't like empty boxes of cookies. Whatever it is, we don't like things empty. You don't like it when it's, you know, you get that really fancy birthday card and you open it and inside it's empty, if you know what I'm saying. We're not so, we don't really like those things. Empty's not a good thing. Especially if it's your life. Especially if you would find yourself saying, I'm feeling kind of empty inside. And I hate to say this, but if you listen to our culture, if you listen to the prevailing thought of our society, and what they say will give you a full life, a fulfilling life, a great life, one that you'll love, you're going to find out that it's empty. It will leave you empty. It may provide you some happiness along the way, but ultimately it will not fulfill you. See, because the world, our culture, it says, hey, you know, and it gives you kind of a list. You know, if you've got lots of friends, then, you know, you got a full life. If you got lots of money, lots of possessions, if you can buy the things you want, if you're independently wealthy, well, then, you know, you've made it. You've got a fulfilled life. If you have fame, if you're well known, if you've got that great position where people look up to you, you know, then you've got a fulfilled life. If you've got that career that you want, if you've built your business, you have all these things, the world says you're living the life. But then sooner or later, I think, you discover that if that's all you have, it's going to still leave you empty inside. One way Jesus kind of said it is, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, it's going to leave you unfulfilled. And if you think about, just on your own, in your own mind, just think of those people that you think of as having made it. The famous ones, the Hollywood actors, the professional athletes, the popular singers, musicians. By definition, it seems, they have it all, right? Got great fame, fortune, all kinds of cars, houses in multiple cities, people all around them fawning after them for their autographs, and on it goes. And then how often do you read about them or hear about them in the news? This one's in jail for bar fight or domestic violence, or that one's arrested on some drug charges, or that one's involved in some altercation involving guns or whatever. And how many of them, the people that you would say have made it, so tragically take their own lives? It really becomes kind of a case study that all of the things that the world promises for a fulfilling life actually can leave you empty. And it's not that those things are particularly bad. I'm talking about the careers, the possessions, the fame, not the drugs and the brawls and that. Just so you know, those things are bad, but the other things. Okay, it's not that any one of those things is bad, but I'm telling you this, they can't be the purpose of your life. Achieving them, gaining them, receiving them, that cannot be what you're ultimately striving for, where you ultimately find your meaning. You can't do that. It will leave you empty. And generally speaking, empty is not good unless it's the tomb that once held the body of Jesus Christ. Then empty is the greatest thing the world has ever known, the greatest thing that you have ever known. Because if you think of it, if the tomb is empty, if Jesus' tomb is empty, that means that Jesus is alive. And if Jesus is alive, that means you have meaning in your life. Jesus says, in his own words, I've come that they, meaning you, may have life and have it to the full. That's where you and I find a fulfilled life. And so we're going to unpack that today. We're going to unpack where that fulfillment comes, how it exists in our life, where we see it in kind of three different dimensions. And to do that, we're going to take a look again at that gospel reading this morning from John chapter 20. And in there, we're going to see Jesus talk about these things that he gives us that fill our life. And the first one that we see is that in Jesus Christ, we have peace-filled lives. And you might say, ooh, that one, I don't know. You know, I'm kind of a go-getter, and a peace-filled life doesn't sound all that interesting to me. Maybe even sounds a little bit boring. But maybe you're also on the other end of that spectrum. Maybe you're sitting here right now and your life's gotten so crazy. Have you ever had those seasons in your life that it's just like one thing after the next, and it's kind of a little crazy from this end to that end, and you're just hoping for a boring day? I don't know. That happens to me a lot. And it's in those times of our life where peace sounds really good. Because Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. There are times in all of our lives where we need that peace that comes from Jesus. And if you take a look at the disciples in our gospel reading, they're basically, Jesus has been crucified and buried, and on that evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. So the disciples, basically, they've had one heck of a weekend, right? So you talk about a roller coaster. For 3 years, they've been following Jesus as their teacher. They've gone all in on Jesus. They've left all of their, whatever was their life before, they've left that behind to follow Jesus. They are convinced that he's the Messiah. They're convinced that he's going to restore Israel to its former glory. And they're following him for that. They followed him wherever he's gone, all the teaching, all the healing. They followed him as he entered triumphantly into Jerusalem to the shouts of all the people with Hosanna. Things are going great, but then there's this arrest on Thursday in the garden, and then there's the trial, and then all of a sudden there's a crucifixion, and before they know it, he's dead and buried. And with that, all their hopes, all their dreams, gone, dashed. And then on top of that, so not only have they lost all of that, but then on top of that, early on Sunday morning, some women had gone to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body, but they came back and said, he's not there. The tomb is empty. He's alive. And you would think that that means that then the disciples would be out in the streets celebrating, but instead they're locked behind closed doors. Why is that? Well, if you think this through, they're afraid of the Jewish authorities. Why? Because Jesus is missing, right? Saw a comedian once, him and his brother. Jesus is missing on Easter, you know, wasn't really happy. And he's like, who did it? Mom's going to think it was me. You know, it's you. You know, I always get blamed for the things that the other brother did. But Jesus is missing. Who's going to get blamed for it? They're going to automatically assume that the disciples took his body. And then they're going to be next. Right, their head is next on the chopping block, so to speak. So they're not celebrating, they're hiding, and they're fearful, and they're frustrated. They don't know what's going to happen. They're scared. They're disappointed. And that's when we see Jesus come into their midst. He stood among them, and he said this, "Peace be with you." And then he showed them his hands and his side. It's the first thing that Jesus says to his disciples. Not, what are you doing behind closed doors? Not, why did you run away from me on Thursday night? That was not cool. No, the first thing he says is, peace be with you. Calm down, in other words, is what he's saying. It's okay, I'm with you. And then he offers them an inner peace, knowing that he's alive. And if you think about it, right? In front of you is standing a man who was dead. You know it. You saw it with your own eyes. But now he's alive. When he says, be peaceful, be at peace, everything is going to be okay, don't you think he's somebody you might listen to? Someone you might think who knows what he's talking about. Someone who, as you've always known Jesus to be, a man of his word, who does what he says, demonstrates his word with action. He's the one that says, be at peace. Can't we take that to the bank, as the saying goes? Can't we count on that? Can't we believe him when he says that he's going to give us peace? So my friends, that's what the empty tomb says, that you can have peace in your life. You can have a peaceful life. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't generally describe my days as peaceful. A lot of times I use words, maybe this is, I don't know if this is just me, maybe this is you, I describe my days as busy, hectic, stressful, right? Am I alone in that, or does that describe how you would describe some of your days? I suspect it's the same thing. Because life isn't always rosy. Life isn't always peaceful. A lot of times we're worried about things. We don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know where the next dollar is going to come from. We don't know what's happening in that relationship. Maybe something's happening with the kids. Maybe something's happening with the spouse. Maybe something's happening with your health. And it takes away your peace. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to rob and steal your joy. But Christ comes and he says peace. And I'm not just talking to the old people in the room. We do have some young people that are here today. This is the same thing for kids, right? Life's not easy for them either. Sometimes we think, oh, it was easy. I don't know. It's kind of tough to be a young person today. I mean, right now, especially we got school starting back up. I always hated it when summer was over and it's time for school again. I don't know. I don't miss those days. But I remember having to go back to school. You got homework, you got sports, you got all the activities you got to juggle. Sometimes people are, as you get a little bit older, you got a job, you got relationships, you're worrying about your boyfriend or your girlfriend, does he like me, doesn't she like me, is he going to break up with me? Then you got your social life, how many followers do you have on Instagram? And all those things, it creates a stress-filled life. Whether you're old, whether you're young, we all have that source of stress in our life, and Jesus says, peace be with you. The one who came back from the dead, he can handle your schedule, your finances, your relationships, your health, right? So, whatever's got you stressed, Jesus says, be at peace. And I think those are powerful words coming from the one who rose from the grave. But he not only says you can have peace in your life, but he says you can have purpose in your life. You can have a purpose-filled life. Now, if we go back to the disciples in that upper room, if you put yourself in their shoes, right, they put all their eggs in the Jesus basket. That's where their hopes were. That's where their plans were. And then suddenly, it's like everything that they thought about Jesus was wrong. They thought he was the Messiah, and which they were right about that, but they thought the way he was going to do this was he was going to come and he was going to lead them in a huge revolt, and Rome was going to be kicked out, and Israel was going to regain their prominence and their independence, and that was the plan that they had, right? But that's not the Jesus they got. They got a Jesus who was crucified on Friday and was buried. And everything that they had mapped out in their plan for the last 3 years, all the stuff that they were hoping for, this one saying, oh, let me sit at your right hand, and let me sit at your left, and it's going to be great when we crown you king, and this is what they're thinking, all that's gone. Now what? In many cases, they've left family, they've given up careers. Now, where's their purpose in their life? And that's when Jesus comes to them, and he says, not only does he say, peace be with you, but he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. See, now they have a purpose again. Now their purpose is to live for Jesus and continue his work. See, these men, they had gathered around Jesus in the first place when he called them. They had come to him and followed him because they wanted to change the world. That's why they're following Jesus. They wanted to get Israel back on the map, but they wanted to make a difference. They wanted to affect a change. They wanted to change the world. Well, Jesus basically says, wish granted. Because what he's going to do is he's going to transform them from a huddled and scared group of men locked in an upper room to the greatest evangelists that have changed the history of the world forever. That's what they did. That's what that group of men in that upper room, locked behind doors, that's why we're here today. They changed the world because they took the news of Jesus. Because as the Father sent Jesus, he sent them, and they said yes. And the world will never be the same again. They have a purpose in life. And the empty tomb says you have a purpose in your life too. And again, I don't care what age this is. I'm not, you know, whether you're a young person here today or a grandma and grandpa here today, I'm not pointing at anybody. I'm not judging anybody's age. I'm just saying whatever your age, you have a purpose in your life. And you want a purpose in your life. I don't care how old you are. You're never too young to have that sense of, I want to do something with my life. And you're never too old to have a sense, I want my life to matter, to make a difference. And what I'm saying, and I kind of started out saying at the beginning of this message, is the purpose in your life, it had better be more than how much you can accumulate. I hope, I pray for you that the purpose in your life is more than just how much you can accumulate, more than just the career you built or the business that you built, more than how many followers you got on social media, how many people like your posts. And it has to be, and this is getting to be a more realistic, not realistic, but it's more common today that, you know, you got to have more purpose in life than just becoming a master level on your video game, whatever game that is. You know, sure, you may have just won $3 million playing Fortnite, which I don't know if you saw this in the news, 16-year-old kid literally won $3 million actual dollars for playing a video game. That didn't happen with Donkey Kong. But the thing is that like, you know, game over, you know, life over? Is that purpose fulfilled in life? For his sake, I hope not. And I hope it's not just next year's Fortnite conference. I hope it's not just that. I hope it's not just a bigger trophy or more trophies, right? Can you see where this is going? And maybe just to bring it a little bit closer to home, all right? Because maybe you're not all Fortnite players out there. I'm just guessing. Maybe in your life, your purpose has got to be more than just, you know, how many golf games you can get in this week. Whatever it is, I hope you're looking, I believe you're looking for more meaning than that. You and I have to be part of something that is bigger than ourselves, something that goes beyond ourselves. We've got to be. It's the deepest hunger of each of us. If you've been around for a couple months, we've been talking about this growing into our future emphasis that we're doing, and it's all part of an analysis and an effort that our congregation is doing to say, how can we make a bigger impact in our community? How can these seats be full? How can what we are doing here be so important that more people want to be a part of it? What's that future that God has for us? What is our purpose that God has left us here? He says, in this world, you will be my witnesses. Right? That's what he says to his disciples. He said, I am sending you. And then shortly after that, right, that was in John's gospel, but at the end of John's gospel, and at the very beginning of the book of Acts, Luke records Jesus' words saying, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In other words, you're going to share my story and you're going to change lives. And I like the word he uses. He doesn't say maybe, might, could, should. He says will. It's not like there's a real lot of choice in this. You will. Because quite frankly, when you and I have seen what you and I have seen, you can't unsee. You can't unknow the risen Lord, the empty tomb, and the difference he makes in our life, the hope he gives, the joy he gives, the life and purpose he gives. You can't unwitness that. It's kind of like if you've ever been, I don't know if you've ever been at the scene of an accident, you know, and the officer comes up to you and says, you know, what happened? What'd you see? And you say, you know, I'm not really good at this whole witness thing, so if you don't mind, I'm just going to be on my way. It doesn't usually work that way. Because a witness tells what they know to be true. And Jesus says, you want to have purpose in your life, you want to make a difference, you want to impact the world, then tell the world what you know about me. Let that be your testimony. and lives will be impacted and changed, not just for now, but for all eternity. That gives you purpose in life. The empty tomb tells you that. And the empty tomb gives you power for your life. Because if you think about all these things that we're talking about, where's the power coming from? Right? How do the disciples go from this band of brothers that are hiding out in a room with the doors locked to be an evangelist that changed the world? Well, Jesus answers that in the very next verse. He says, "Peace be with you. I am sending you as the Father sent me." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And they're going to get it in a more dramatic way, because he talked about this as well. And he had said, "I'm going to be sending you one who in my place. I'm going to leave this world, but I'm going to leave you a paraclete, a comforter, a guide, my Holy Spirit." And in a very dramatic way, the Holy Spirit was given on Pentecost. And yeah, they do come out of that room, and they are emboldened to move right into the center of the city, and they proclaim in different languages so that everybody could hear that Jesus is Lord. And because of the power of the Holy Spirit living in them, they're able to change lives and impact the world forever. And friends, that Holy Spirit that was given to the disciples as Jesus breathed on them in the upper room and then came upon them and the whole church in the book of Acts, it's the same Holy Spirit that he gives to you in your baptism. You might not remember it, but at your baptism, God came and he dwelled in your heart and he gave you his Holy Spirit. It's exactly what Peter says is going to happen in your baptism, in the name of Jesus Christ. Your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All of us who have been baptized into Christ have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that is what empowers us. That is the gift that God has given us, and that's what gives us the power to do from the simplest little thing of getting up every day and facing this next day with its challenges to the great things of comforting you when you're going through sadness and sorrow and loss, to giving you the courage to stand up for what you believe, even when your friends might think you're crazy. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you the power, the courage to do that. That's what the empty tomb does for you. And so the thing I guess I'm just trying to say is that the world, you know, our enlightened society, what it offers you for fulfillment, what it says is going to fulfill you, will, and I'm not saying that those things in and of themselves are particularly bad, but they will not give you everything. They will leave you with a hole and an emptiness. They won't lead you to a fulfilled life, because the fulfilled life only comes through Jesus. And so the empty tomb that we've been talking about these last few weeks, it says quite simply that because Jesus rose from the grave, gives you his peace, he sends you out with purpose, and he gifts you with the Holy Spirit for the power to do all that he's called you to and all that you will face in your life. Because in this world, you will have trouble, but he has overcome the world, and he has given you life to the fullest, a fulfilled life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus into the world. Even though you knew that the world would reject him, that he would die in our place. And Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and dwelling among us and giving us the gift of your Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would ever dwell in our hearts and give us peace and the knowledge that we have a purpose in you. And Lord, thank you for giving us the power to live that out each and every day of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.